Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, some of y'all have been trying to shake me and you just can't do it. You can run, but you can't hide, Ken. Well, good morning to you guys, and thank you, Pastor Lauren. I appreciate that. Yeah, Spencer used to, when he'd get sick, he used to call his mom. Now he calls his daddy. He called me yesterday morning. He only lives 50 feet away from us right now. They have sold their house back in Jackson County and are looking diligently for a home here in Fort Payne to move over here. That was one of the stipulations of whoever's going to pass it over here when we first started looking at planting here, was that they'd have to live here. There wasn't going to be this commuting from one place to another, but we're going to live in the midst of the community and connect with it. They had to move at least to Rainsville to further over, and so they committed to that and moving in there, and so they're living 50 feet away. We have a little guest efficiency, if you would, about 450, maybe 600 square feet. I don't know what it is. And Spencer and Madison and Judah and Bethel and Boaz and Zoe are, well, let me just say this. Spencer's staying in there right now. Nobody else is staying in there right now. But I talked to him this morning, and he is feeling 85% better there. Things are clearing up, a lot of congestion. No fever or anything like that. It's just kind of the things that are going on around out there, but he's so disappointed that he was not able to be here this morning. Such an exciting time for you guys as a church, and I would love to be here and wanted to be here, but thought it was wise, even though he was at any, you know, 5 months ago at 85%, he would have been here, you know what I'm saying? But we're just trying to be sensitive to the environment that we live in now and the conditions and the mindset and where things are, and just be respectful. You know, it's amazing to me, we had a guest speaker at Scottsboro a few weeks ago, and he said, it's amazing, you have to go to St. John's Hopkins University to learn how to deal with a virus, and wash your hands and, you know, cover your mouth when you cough, you know, pretty much. And so it's kind of crazy. But I also remember, I've talked to Gretchen about this oftentimes, when I was young, and if you weren't feeling well, you stayed home. You didn't go to your ball game. You didn't go to church. You didn't go to school. So you didn't spread things. But I've come to find quite often is that people don't stay home as much because they covered up and they use something to just to knock the pain and the discomfort off, but they're still carrying the sickness there. And so I think it's a wise thing. It's another thing we need to learn again is that when you have something, stay home. It won't spread as much. Amen? Amen. Well, it's good to be with you guys this morning. And I just, when I was praying this morning, actually, I came over and spent the night in Fort Payne. I wanted to kind of just connect with where I'm at and what I would be doing this morning. And we prayed yesterday and really felt like it was important that I would come over and connect with you guys out of respect to Spencer and Madison. And as I was praying this morning, I thought, well, you know, this is an opportunity that you guys get to know Spencer and Madison. You get to know Spencer as a pastor and start developing and growing in relationship. So I thought I'd tell you a story. And that's what I thought, and the Holy Spirit said, no, not that one. Don't tell that story. But I will say this about Spencer, because I know him pretty well, is that when Spencer was younger, he's a very exceptional athlete. I mean, he played very well at any sport that he put his hands to, and we homeschool our children, so they didn't get involved in a whole lot of school scholastic athletics there. They weren't able to, but when there was other leagues that they could get into, we'd try to let them play in those. And he got involved in baseball and was doing very well at baseball, and from the first practice until, you know, the first ball game, the coach had him at shortstop, you know, and that's your fielder. That's your guy that just kind of makes it go. It's like the quarterback on a football team, and he's out there making great plays and great efforts. He's batting like number one or number two in the lineup. But as parents started to get involved in the sport there, and we just felt like a coach's responsibilities in the dugout, ours is on the outside, get them there on time, get them dressed, get them prepared, you know, to help teach them what's going on. Long story short, Spencer somehow ended up in right field. His skills did not lessen whatsoever. He was still as good as he was when he started, if not getting better as the year was going on. But then they put a left-handed boy at shortstop. You know anything about baseball, you don't put left-handers on that side of the ball field, first base and in the outfield. And what we started to realize is that there was parents that wanted their children to play somewhere. And Spencer, wherever he was on the field, he played his best. It doesn't matter where you are on the field, it's how you play when you're on the field. It doesn't matter what number you bat in lineup, it's how you bat when you get your opportunity. And he has always been that kind of person, and whatever has been dealt to him, whatever has been given his opportunity, his lot, his position, he's given his all. And you guys are blessed to have a young man who is very committed, one to his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, two to his family, very dedicated to his wife and his children. His children love him tremendously. I can honestly say, and Saloma's sitting in here with me, I saw Harvest snuck out somehow, some way, but Saloma, who led worship this morning, Spencer's younger sister, I don't know that Spencer ever caused me a difficult day in all of our years together. I honestly do not. Now, I'm hearing stories that I didn't know. Which is good. You know, at least he didn't trouble me. Amen. So, anyway, he wanted me to greet you and to just to tell you that he loves you and he appreciates you. Well, listen, just I guess it was Friday night. Some of us were over in Hazel Green, Alabama, at a church as part of our church fellowship. And they asked a few of us to come over and preach, kind of a revival set of services over there. And the message that I shared there, I wrestled with whether I should share that this morning because it is very fitly for where you guys are as an early church and your second week as a Sunday working church there, is that your future blessings are contingent upon your present obedience. And that is true in life. That is literally true in life. What you do today, you may not experience today, but it is preparing you and sowing into what your future is going to look like. And so how you serve and how you commit, how you worship. You may be saying, oh my goodness, you know, the worship here isn't like what I thought it was going to be. You know, that the people aren't shouting and there's not people moving to the altar. Your present obedience, the way you worship now, is preparing the future blessings of what is going to take place in this house. The way you pray, the way you believe, the way you submit, the way that you commit, the way that you read the Bible, what you're doing now is present to what is coming in the future. Are you with me? Your present is preparing your future. And I want to encourage you guys with that, is that God has great plans for this church, great plans for this body of Christ and for this ministry. And he has it in his heart that many lives are going to be changed, transformed, and moved from darkness to light. From broken to being fixed and repaired, from unholy to holy, from unrighteous to righteous, lives are going to be changed here. Well, if you have a Bible with you, we do this back home where we're from, and I just want you to take that Bible, hold it in your hand, and say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I'm going to be who it says I'm going to be. It was written for me, for my correction, for my direction, and for my soon coming resurrection. Oh Lord, be it unto me according to your word. Turn with me, if you would, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, the early stages of the book of Acts starts to tell us about the early stages of the church. And I'm going to speak to something that can principle practices that can take place now that will prepare you and bring about and usher in the blessings that will be coming soon in this area and in this church. I'm going to pick up in verse 32, and I'm going to share a few things just from this. I'm going to share from my heart. I'm going to share from my passion. Look back to some of our earlier years and some of our early beginnings and certain things that took place to bring us to where we are right now and to bring us to this moment and to this time. And a lot of them are found right here in this passage of Scripture. It speaks to and speaks of the church, and it can speak to the church. And I want you to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is getting ready to say to the church. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to every heart that is in here. But I know that there has to be an open and a willing ear. And I ask that we would do that. That's why we came here today. Help us to not shut off because of old wounds or old disappointments or fears or concerns or unwillingness to engage and become a part of. Lord, you led us all here today for some reason, and I believe to speak to us. And I ask that you would speak to us. And Lord, I pray that it be like the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, that they wouldn't see a preacher and say, let's build a tabernacle off of this person or that person, but they would hear hear your voice and that your cloud of glory would roll in and you would say, hear him, that we would listen to you, Jesus, and we'd listen to the word of God as you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In verse 32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Now the word multitude, if you look at it in the gospel, the word multitude literally means a large mass of ordinary people with no power or influence. It was just crowds that gathered around Jesus. You know, for years I've seen that. In 30 years of ministry, I've seen church after church after church. Nate said to me when I came in, well, here we are in another city at another church. We've traveled numerous times together. James and many in here, we've traveled to other churches. But I've seen churches that have a large crowd, that have a lot of people in there, but they have no power or influence. Now, that doesn't mean take away the crowd. It doesn't take away the massiveness of it. It means get the power and the influence. And that's what we want to be as a church that has power and influence, that can influence your neighbor's life, that it's a good thing to get saved. That can influence your children's life. It's a good thing to be filled with the Spirit of God. That would influence the people in which we have in our sphere and where we live. We want to be a powerful people. Here, now in the book of Acts, we're in the gospel when Jesus is coming. It was only a large crowd with no power of influence. Now it's literally the state of a large group of people. It's a large group of people. 3,000 people got saved just two chapters earlier. They now have a large group of people. But these people have power and influence. There's a transformation that's taking place in their life. So the idea here is not that how small can we stay, and it's better to stay small. It's how many lives can we touch? How many lives can we influence? What is the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our life, in the Spirit on this church? How can it change and help change and bring change to our community, to our neighborhoods, to this region of the state of Alabama, reaching over into Georgia, reaching up into Tennessee? How can we make a difference and bring an influence into their lives? A large multitude of people. Those who had believed. He's talking about the believers. We should desire. Now listen, we have no desire inside of our heart to be a mega church. We have no desire in our heart to be a bigger church. Our desire is based on this. How can we help populate heaven? That's our goal. And if we're only going to touch one or two, you know, and just a few, he said many are called. They're going to have to make their choices. We need to have a desire. How many people can we touch? How many people can we influence? How many people can we get to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, baptized, and follow him with all of their heart and all of their life? You see, being many, the gospel is something that is meant to go to the whole world. Amen? So I would encourage at the very beginning to not just have a vision for Fort Payne, not just have a vision for the well Fort Payne, but have a vision for the world, a worldwide vision. You know, some years ago, when the Lord spoke to me, he said, when you reach a certain number of people, it's time to plant a church. Well, we reached that number, and we were already in the works. We weren't fully ready, but that number started to pass us a little bit. Therefore, again, I'm telling you, our goal is not to be a big church. Our goal is to plant churches, to reach communities, to influence the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's some young men that are sitting in this room right now that they're already in the chutes, they're already at the gates. They're getting ready to go out and plant a church. And I'm not saying that prophetically, I'm saying that realistically. Nate and James are both in position to plant churches, one in Georgia and one in Scotland. Right here this morning, that's our heart. That is our desire. Matter of fact, we sent you out. Majority of you in here, we sent you out. So that sending out is the mindset and the reality that no, we're not trying to just to be a bigger church. Our emphasis is not as much the multitude, it's the power and the influence that would come out of the multitude. That you and I would be equipped and prepared to do the work of the ministry. You'll see through the years that you're here that the fivefold ministry will start to work and function in the midst of here simply because God wants to equip you. God wants to equip this church to do the work of ministry. And I hope that that's something that is stirring in your heart, something that is desirous inside of you, is that you want to do the work of ministry. Later in that verse, he says, neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. You know, the interesting thing is that they had all things in common. That is the basis of community, common unity. Now, the era they lived in was totally different than our era. Matter of fact, most likely every one of them got excommunicated from their Jewish family when they came to the church. They weren't able to interact in community. They probably weren't able to keep their business. Nobody would trade with them. Their lives were in threat. Their lives were in danger. So they really needed to bring everything together so they could live off of one another. They could nourish one another. They could build a community. Our passion, our desire is to plant a community in a community to help transform that community. Not to think that we do it and we do it by ourselves, but to come alongside others who are believers to influence others to become believers. Amen. But as they're in this situation, they made all things common. They made all things common. And notice here, it says that what they possess. Here's something that's going to be healthy for the early stages of church. Don't be possessive. Amen. Yeah. That's right. Well, that's my parking place. Yeah. Well, that's my song to sing. Well, that's my role in the church here. Don't be possessive. And no. You see, possessive leads quickly to the identification of the enemy himself. He comes with pride, control, and possession. You know, possession today, we don't find it as much as rolling at the eyes and foaming at the mouth. It's more of an attitude and position of a heart. I control this. I control that. A controlling measure. Be open. Be committed. Be willing to invest. Be willing to share. I'll share your burden of greeting people at the door. I'll share your burden of being the one outside in humidity. You come in for a while, wipe your sweat off. I'll go out there and serve. I will come and I will contribute my part to this church. What a wonderful beginning. What a wonderful stage that you have right now to be involved in a grassroots work of what God is breathing on to be able to be contributing into what God is going to do. Are you with me? You see, to not be possessive, but to share in all things, is to be all in because you're all out. It would be all in because I'm all out. I'm out of myself and I'm all in to what God wants to do here. I'm committed to the work of what the Lord wants to do here. Verse 33. It says in verse 33, and I tried my best. Listen, I'm doing everything I can to shorten my sermons. So I got smaller pieces of paper. I'm trying my best, okay? Trying my best. That's one thing different about Spencer and I is that I have longer sermons. He has longer conversations. That's just a big difference between the two of us, okay? So here he goes. In verse 33, it says here, listen to this. With great power and with great power. You're not going to have to do this in your own strength. There will be an association in the church. The church will be accompanied and enabled with great power. Have you ever had anything in your life that you're saying, man, I'm powerless against that. And I'm overcome by that. And I can't defeat that. That you have a promise in the church. In the early church, there was a promise that they had great power. They were powerful, not powerless. They were accompanied with the Spirit of the living God. And he gives us authority and enablement to overcome and to not be defeated, but to be victorious. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. So we see in this one verse, there's great power, there's a great witness, great influence, and now there's great grace in our life. Greatness is associated with the church. You've heard the scripture before. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, listen, not just you as an individual, now you as a corporate body, greater is he that is in the church than the enemy that is in the world. We have greatness all about us. And this is meant to be a great church. And you need to think with a mindset of greatness and have a vision of greatness. Greater than, not lesser than. Amen. More than. Even Jesus said. He said, if you believe in me, you should do the same works that I do, but greater works shall you do because I go to my Father. Greater works, more of the same things because I'm interceding and praying for you in heaven. So greatness is something that you ought to be mindful of and something that you will be experiencing and encountering here in this church. Verse 34, nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Nor was there anyone who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold. Now listen, I want to look at this prophetically. Like I said, they lived in a little bit different culture, a little different era, but we don't want to be an error and miss what heart they had. They're of one mind and one accord. It said that they all contributed, they all invested, and their proceeds caused the church to have increase. If you want to see the church to proceed, you need to invest. I'm not speaking to you of monetary value right now. I'm not trying to stir you, twist you, and say, you need to go sell a piece of land. Listen, I tell you, the well in Scottsboro, I just flashbacks came over me when a lady came in and she said, I don't know, but I just feel like God's telling me to do this. And she literally gave us a piece of property. Literally. People have come in and given vehicles to other people in the church. Yes, there needs to be generosity. I could not tell you, I mean, people, how they have come in and just contributed and made a shift and a change in different stages of the church and the maturity and the advancing of the church. Again, I'm not talking about growth. Yes, we want to touch people's lives, but we want to proceed. You see, the vision of the well is to advance the kingdom of God by being passionate for God and compassionate towards others. In other words, they looked around and said, hey, I have, and they don't have, so they're not going to lack. You know, wouldn't that be the mindset, the neatest mindset in here, that you just simply would have the heart and the mind that you would look and see the needs of others? You know what that's called? That's called humility. That's called a preference. That's called compassion. It's called compassion. It's one of the greatest works of the church. It's one of the greatest works and external works of Jesus. He saw the multitudes and he had compassion on them. I don't want you to lack. If you went over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul is literally telling the people in Corinth, he's saying, listen, you will come behind lacking in no spiritual gift whatsoever. We will make sure you have what you need. We will make sure. I'll just give you a picture. There's people in here that are going to become musicians. There's people in here that are musicians. There's people here coming. But, you know, that's the compassion, is that these people would lay down their relationship and their fellowship. They don't live here, but many of them would come and they see the need. We're not going to let you lack. We're not going to let you come up short. And we could have gone down the list simply. Now, I please know my heart in this. We could have gone down the list. You know how many people we have to preach that can preach in our church? And we could have used a bunch of them. But Gretchen and I, on our knees together, felt like that the father of Spencer needed to come here and be here this morning. We're going to make sure that you're not lacking. I want you to have that mindset. I want to encourage you. You and I may not see each other. You may not hear from me for years now. He'll already have put me on the list that I was the first guest speaker. But I think it's appropriate. I think it's timely. I think it's right. I want to encourage you to invest. I want to encourage you to invest in each other's life. Nobody in here should be lacking a father or a mother. Nobody in here should be lacking a friend. Nobody here should be lacking a prayer partner. Nobody here should be lacking in intercession. Nobody here should be lacking in encouragement. Nobody here should be lacking in comfort and compassion. There ought to be, when you go to the hospital, there ought to be somebody in the parking lot. Kind of the way it is right now, right? But there ought to be somebody on the phone. There ought to be somebody connected with you somehow. The only way that's going to happen is if you make those investments. If you make those investments. Well, listen, no one lacking. I want to just jump verses here for the second passages. I want you to turn over to Psalm 115. I honestly believe the Lord dropped this in my heart. I've never even done this in Scottsboro. I don't know that I've ever done it in another church anywhere, but I honestly believe this is the word of the Lord for you guys today, and I'm going to declare it over you. It's a declaration to be made. In Psalm 115, I'm going to pick up in verse 13, and this is speaking of the heart and the nature of God. Are you ready? I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for something to change in your life, for something to shift in your life, for something to happen in your life? I'm literally going to speak this over you. I'm literally going to plant this seed in you, and you're going to see the results. Listen, our present obedience is a contingency of your future blessings. So I'm going to declare this over your life, and you can go home. I'm so excited. God gave this to me this morning. I'm so excited to go home to Gretchen and say, hey, we've got something to talk about. We've got something to declare, okay? In Psalm 115, in verse 13, he will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. He didn't just say he's going to give you some increase. He said he's going to increase you more and more. He's going to over more and over more. Moreover and moreover, he's going to continue to bring increase in your life. Increase where? In your joy, increase in your health, increase in your peace, increase in your love, increase in your relationships, increase in your influence, increase in every aspect of your life, even in the monetary and material resources, increase in your life. Increase of musicians, increase of instruments, increase of chairs, increase of property. This is the God. Listen, he spoke to me just a couple of days, and I know some of you don't know me very well, but he literally spoke to my heart that there's coming a boom to the economy of Christianity. Amen. Coming a boom to the economy. And not a doom, not a gloom, but a boom and a bloom. He's getting ready to bring an increase. So get yourself ready. Increase is coming. Increase is coming. And listen, I am not a prosperity preacher per se, but I believe the Word of God says he wants you to prosper in spirit, soul, and health. Amen. And not just pull out one little area. The love of money is the root of all evil, and we would never push that upon anybody. But the reality is God wants to bless you. God wants to bring increase in your life. Somebody's got to say amen a little bit louder for me, okay? I'm sure I've told some of y'all the story before. I was preaching at a church, and I mean, I was preaching. And finally, about 45 minutes into it, got through my introduction, and this lady said, amen. She said, preaching. That just pulled on me. I mean, that just started pulling it out of me. And listen, when you put a demand on the anointing, it won't disappoint you. But I started preaching, and she kept saying amen. Someone else said amen. And finally, the pastor was sitting in the front and said, preach it, Pharaoh, preach it. I thought, preach it, Pharaoh. It just kind of took the air out of the room, you know. So I wrapped up the sermon, and we're sitting back in his study afterwards. And I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure, anything. I said, why did you say preach it, Pharaoh? He said, I was trying to tell you, let my people go. Just so you know, that's a joke. It was not a true story. Back over in Acts chapter 4. Next time you read that, remember that. Nor was there anyone of them who lacked. Wouldn't that be beautiful? No big eyes, no little U's, no great, no small, that were all blessed. For all who were possessors of the lands, they sold out their proceeds of all things. They contributed, they invested. Listen, grace is favor. Unmerited is not earned nor deserved. God's going to release a greater increase of his favor in your life. Verse 35. And they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as had need. You know, I was thinking about that. That's just God uses people. God, his infrastructure is people. Okay, the way that he works in his church. And that's what we do. When we put that money in that tithe box, or we put that offering in the midst of the vision of what's going on. You just have to trust. You're just going to have to trust. Release it. Let God take care of it and move with it. But he said that they distributed at the feet. But they said then everybody's needs were met. Remember, they weren't able to go out and work and have these different employment jobs. Our culture is a little bit different than theirs was. But what that spoke to me spiritually is that your needs are going to be met through other people's investment. Their prayers, their worship, their kindness, their gentleness, whatever it may be, or even may be their finances. I could not tell you. We got accused years ago of being the church with deep pockets. And I said, the only reason they're deep, we wore them out, there's holes in them. As soon as we put money in, it goes out, and it just goes to the poor, goes to the lonely, goes to the hurting. This church takes care of its own. We understand that household of God first, but then we contribute on the outside also. And you're going to experience that. But listen, spiritually, physically, mentally, relationally, your needs are going to be met here. Your needs are going to be met here. What wasn't met before is going to be met here. Maybe even your healing is going to experience here, spirit, soul, or body. But also know this. If your needs are going to be met by the investments of others, others' needs are going to be met by your investments. Gretchen and I use a medical plan. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called MediShare. MediShare. It's a Christian insurance company in essence. And what it is everybody pitches in and then they just pay off everybody's bills. That's what they do. And we just share each other's expense. But not only that, then they'll get on the phone and say, hey, can you be praying for? And how can I be praying for you when you get off of them? Same kind of concept. What we invest, I don't know who the person is in Montana that just got the back surgery, but it's all paid for. I have no idea who they are. But the reality is I know that my investment helped make a difference. And I know that other people's investments make a difference in our life. So whatever investments you make here, your needs are going to be met, but you're going to help meet other people's needs. This is going to be a glorious experience and a tremendous ride with the Lord. So if you're sold out, you'll be all in. Amen. They sold everything. They let it go. They were sold out. You've heard that term before, haven't you? Being sold out. That means they're all in, right? Then it says Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. I thought that was pretty interesting. Levites are always pretty well associated with worship. But we see here the son of encouragement. He's got a couple names. You know him as this guy. You know him as that guy. But the main thing he's known for is his encouragement. His encouragement. And I want you to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be encouragers in other people's lives. You're going to find encouragement in this church. Verse 37. And having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So what they were being told to do, he was doing. Do you hear me? You know what was so good about Spencer growing up? What he was told to do, he did it. Simple as that. He just did it. We taught him at the very early stages, doing what you're told to do is obedience, is doing what you're told to do when you're told to do it with the right heart attitude. Was he perfect? No. But did he have a heart to do? Yes. And to do what he's being told to do. That's good sonship. That's good sonship. Is doing what you're told to do. You know, a difference between a good child and a great child. A good child will do what they're told to do. A great child has it in their heart and doesn't have to be told. Let me just kind of speak that over you. You know, the difference between a good Christian and a great Christian. A good Christian will do what they're told to do. Maybe only when they're told to do, but they'll do what they're told to do. But a great Christian has a heart to do it and doesn't have to be told. Wouldn't that be something? If you didn't have to be called every week to be reminded and encouraged to go to church. If you didn't have to be called to ask to do this. Your heart's already there. Come on, that's what we want. They had one heart, one soul. They had one mind. That's where it was. It was internal. It was something inside of them changed. And if something inside of you changes, everything on the outside of you will start to change. But you can start doing things on the outside and the inside never changes. Somewhere you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get disappointed. You're going to get mad and angry. And you're going to stop and it's going to cause hurt and pain. We can either do what's right and build lives or act like we're doing what's right and eventually hurt lives. Destroy lives. This is a hard thing. The heart of being all in or the heart of being sold out. So it tells us what to do. But then it gives us an example that somebody literally did that. And then he was a Levite. And I think about worship. And I just hope that that's the case for you. When you come in out here after a long week, after a difficult Saturday, Friday, Thursday, whatever you're going through time, and you come in, the worship just goes, oh man, I'm encouraged. I'm strengthened. I want to serve God. I want to commit. I want to love these people. I want to see God move. I want to do that. Worship brings encouragement. This needs to be a house of encouragement. Well, I wish that was the end of it, but really, these guys selling land and selling property, that would really be described to you and I as simply extravagant commitment. Big decisions. You're going to have to live and make big decisions in this season of your life and as a church. Verse 35, again, just tells us that you can be the instrument. Somebody else may be the instrument that's going to help bring about your blessing and your favor. Let's go to chapter 5, verse 1. There's one word there that just grabs me and catches me, and I'm going to start wrapping up with this. But. All this was happening. Great example. We see the instruction, the interactions going on. They make it personal. Barnabas is doing this stuff. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. You think, well, could anything be going wrong? That's what Barnabas just did. He's starting to do something. He's starting to move into something. He's doing the same thing. Now we're getting the same example. You see here that Ananias and Sapphira are doing the exact same thing. They're selling out. They're giving out. On the outside, it looks like, wow, they're in this. They're all in. They're all out. Verse 2. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. So really, they weren't selling all out, were they? They were holding back. They were holding back. We have that tendency. Again, it's trust. If you do it in the eyes of the Lord and for the glory of God, God will honor that. Even if the apostle, his feet go a different direction. Even if they don't do it exactly the way that maybe you would think they want to do it, you'll still be blessed. This is a heart matter. What we need to see happen at church is not just a location change, not just a style change, not just a sound change. It's all about a heart change. I remember you guys. I remember watching God change your hearts, shaping you, fashioning you. There's quite a few in here. I've watched God transform their hearts. That's what we want to see happen. And the way we start this thing gives it a better chance for it to finish that way. And no doubt to proceed that way. God, what area of my heart could be changed? Not where can I hide in the church? Not what can I do that I want to do? Years ago, Gretchen and I were youth pastors. Years ago. And we had some youth leaders in our youth group. And he worked with NASA, and she worked at UAH. And it came time to do something. We're going to do this big event. And we looked at her and we said, and I won't call her by name, but I said, could you do this? Because she was a typist. She was a secretary. That's what she did. She typed really fast. We said, could you type these things up? Would you mind? And just a sour face came on her. Now leave that right there. And I'll take you back a little bit more of the history of the relationship. This couple hung out with Gretchen and I because they saw something different in our lives. That they could see something. We had influence in their life. But then we started noticing that they were getting jealous of us. And I remember him even saying one night, and I was happy that at least he spoke about it. He said, why do you guys get blessed and we don't? Why does all this favor come to you guys? And I didn't have a full answer because I didn't know exactly what their life was doing or not. I just shared why we were being blessed. Why God would even consider to bless us and bring increase in our life. But then it was exposed. So could you type these? Because you could get it done in twice the time and make it faster. That's your gift. That's your talent. She said, oh, I don't want to do this. That's what I do at work. I want to do something different here. I thought, oh, that's not the right heart. Bring your talents. Bring your gifts. Bring your abilities. Bring your heart. You won't have to worry about carrying all those parts. If your heart's there, everything will come out. Amen? You know, we think that word treasures only means money. For where your treasure is, where your heart be. Do you treasure his house? Do you treasure his presence? Do you value his people? Do you value his vision? You are sitting on the threshold. You're sitting at the gateway of the next phase of your destiny of life. To bring glory and honor to God. To be used and be a part of something that's something extraordinary, something phenomenal, something great. And I hope that every preacher in Fort Payne is preaching the same vision to their church right now. We are no better than any other church, but we have a responsibility for where we are. Listen, I've told people this for years through street ministry. Matter of fact, can I tell you just a little story? Had my teenagers out, we went on the streets. I looked at this one girl and I said, tomorrow you're going to get your opportunity to pray for somebody for healing. She felt like she had the gift of healing. The next day we went out and doing some ministry. Long story short, we ended up with a guy in our van, a homeless man, who was blind in his right eye, who had no tear. His tear ducts were clogged up, so he had no moisture in his eyes. Homeless. Didn't have any bottles of solution or any of that kind of stuff. Long story short, he got in the van, and I said, his nickname was Wolfman, like Wolfman Jack. I said, Wolfman, how can we pray for you? That's when he told me he was blind and everything. And I called for the girl in the back to come forward to pray for him, but we all laid hands out. But I'd always taught my students, I said, pray for the heart, it'll touch every part. If you just pray for the part to be healed and it doesn't get to the heart, what good would it be to be able to go to hell and be able to see? Think about that. So we started praying for him. Now I'm looking in the rearview mirror and tears start strolling down his eyes. Tear ducts that used to be clogged are now opened. Tears are running down, washing his face. He was so dirty. Then he started doing the hand over one eye and the other, and he screams out, I can see. I can see. God opened that blind eye. And then his very next words were this, take me to my friends. He wanted his friends. Anybody who's ever had a true encounter with Christ will want to tell somebody else. Listen to me. Mark these words. If somebody says they got saved and they only want to get baptized, they didn't get saved. But that's their personal. No, salvation is not a personal thing. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And when a life is changed, and you see it in the Bible, when a life is changed, they all tell somebody. Matter of fact, sometimes Jesus, before the cross, would say, hey, don't go tell anybody, okay, Nate? What I did is real, but don't go tell anybody. Not yet. I got to go to the cross. I got to go to the cross. I want them to know about the cross. I want them to know about salvation. I don't want them to worship their healing. I want them to worship their healer. But I've got to pay for the price. I've got to pay for it. May this be a place of encouragement. A place where we don't hold back and keep back part. His wife also aware of it. You know, that's an interesting thing. The word privy. The old King James. Anybody still use the King James Bible? 16, I love it. I love it. It makes me study. It makes me dig in deep. And I'm like, that word, how do you even say it? Let alone what does it mean? And it makes me dig into it. But it said she was privy of it. She held private what she knew that he was doing that was wrong. She was somewhat responsible. Now watch this. If Becky knows something's not right in my heart, and that I'm not doing what I need to be doing, how I need to be doing, and she doesn't come and share that with me, she's privy and she's associated with what I'm doing. That's what it means. So what does that mean? We're accountable to each other. We're in this thing. Why are you down this morning? Or brother, why is it you're so encouraged this morning? What's going on? And we can feed each other and build off each other. That's what church is about. Church is not about being socially distant. It's about being united and fitly joined together so every joint can supply what the other one needs. We're supposed to be in touch with one another. We're supposed to be in tune with one another. We're supposed to be in one accord with one another. We're supposed to be in one heart with one another. We're supposed to be in one spirit with one another. Amen? We shouldn't be in worship and going, why is that one shouting? Why is that one dancing? They must have gone to that kind of church. No, 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 no. Because they've been forgiven much. We all ought to be shouting at some time or another. We ought to all be smiling. Could you imagine going to the church where everyone smiles? Look at each other. Look, it's happening right now. You're in a church where everybody's smiling. There's a movement there. Listen, to be blessed means to be happy. And if we're not happy, we're giving off the sign we're not blessed. He said there's a commanded blessing where brethren in unity dwell. Listen to me, I declare it over you and I declare it again. He wants to increase you over and over, more and more and more. He wants his grace to abound in your life. But they kept back part. But Peter said, Ananias, listen to this association here. You've got in the first description, God blessing. Now you have a description here. Identification. He says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. to lie. Who's the father of all lies? The devil is. Wouldn't that be neat to know that if somebody walked through that door any given Sunday or Wednesday night or during special meetings or wherever this location moves to in the years to come, when they walk across the threshold of the well for pain, that the spirit of lying gets dealt with. That the work of the devil, all those lies and all those manipulations gets dealt with, that people be set free. You see, it's a heart issue. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, it's opposing the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. I'm only going to verse 5. While it remained, was it not your own? Wasn't that yours? Wasn't that your responsibility? Didn't you have authority over that? It was in your hands. It was in your care. It was in your name. He said, while it remained, was it not your own? Friends, you know the old saying, we've got to own it. Listen, the well can't come in here and do it for you. Pastor Spencer Mazin can't come in here. And Bonnie and Lauren, the pastors, the care pastors, cannot come in here and do all this for you. They will contribute. But somewhere we're going to have to take responsibility. What am I going to do with my heart? I know you may be saying, hey, listen, this is only the first time I've been here. It's only the second time all of us have been here. Pretty bold statement. It's his church. And that's what needs to be remembered. And we need to be mindful of. This is his church. This is not Spencer and Madison's church. It's the bride of Christ. We're just caretakers. We're just under shepherds. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Now that land that turned into money, it was in your control. In other words, what he's saying is, yes, I'll do all these things. Yes, you need to do other things, but it's only up to you whether you're going to do it. Barnabas did it. And it was an encouragement. It was an act of worship. Ananias, you're responsible for what you do. You're responsible for what you contribute. Are you all in, Ananias? Have you given the whole part or just a part of it? Are you wholehearted or half-hearted? That's what he would say. I'm not asking you that whatsoever. I am in no way. I don't feel like I have the honor and the privilege or the right to come in here and to address you in a heart situation. I'm inviting you. I'm trying to inspire you, I'm trying to make you mindful of what's going to make a great church, what's going to make a church that experiences the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God, the grace of God. He said, wasn't in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Have you noticed what Peter keeps speaking to? The heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. The issue is being revealed in the part, not in the whole. In the part. Have you ever had a school teacher who's only half-hearted or a football coach? The team probably was 5-5 that year. Your grade was probably a 65 to a 75. But when you find somebody who's wholehearted, fully committed to what they're doing, your level goes to another level. Amen? He said, you have not lied to men, but to God. Listen to me. Your relationship here will be lived out by and at large with one another. With your pastors, with your deacons, with people in your life, those who lead you in worship, those who take care of your children in there. So proud of Josh this morning, said, hey, we're part of the problem. I thought we'd be part of the solution. In other words, we're putting children into this nursery. We might as well put our part into it. And they've always been that way. I couldn't tell you the hours that they have worked at the church, painting, scraping, mopping, doing, building, just all in, all in. But the ultimate and the end result of all this is a relationship with God. I don't know what you have in your bank account. I had a guy ask me years ago, he came in and sat down at the church, good-sized family, had a good job. I was young. That's when I was pastoring in Huntsville. Sat down and he said, well, we're thinking about making this our home church. I said, well, wonderful. You've been here for about 4 or 5 weeks. Kind of makes sense. And he said, we like everything. I just have one question. I said, what's that? He said, can I see the church books? I said, sure, can I see yours? I was young. Green behind the ears, forest green behind the ears. It does work both ways. We have nothing to hide here. We will hide nothing. There's accountability. Places set in all the way through. That's why they still are with the vision. That's why others have joined the vets. This is what we do. It's who we are, right? But you and I are responsible for our own personal part. Gretchen and I are members of the Well. Gretchen and I are members of the Well Scottsboro. I'm a visiting minister. Of course, I'm an overseer, dispenser, and the structure of the church here and a covering in the midst of it. But he's got to be a member too. He can't be half-hearted. The only reason he's not here right now is because he thought about you. It's a good heart. Just be wholehearted. I encourage you to be wholehearted. He said, you're not lying to man. You're lying to me when you're half-hearted. And at the hearing of these words, you know, it's amazing what I just prayed just a second ago before I started this. That we give ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. At the hearing of these words, Ananias fell down, breathed his last breath. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. I'm sure it did. But again, a little different era, a little different culture. So how does that translate to you and I right now? Breathing his last breath would be the same thing as losing the Spirit. We sang it. It's your breath in my lungs. It's your pneuma. It's the Spirit of God. It's the breath of God. That which hovered over the face of the waters on the earth. Two things that weren't created was air and water. They both exist. Why? Because one's Jesus, the other's Holy Spirit. That's a mind blower, isn't it? Don't lose your breath today. Don't lose your breath today. Don't breathe your last breath. Usually that last breath sounds kind of like, man, they want me to be committed. No, we don't. He does. So yes, we do. It's best for you. It's the greatest thing. Today is the best day of your life to commit the rest of your life to Him. I'm a firm believer. The salvation, it's not just a confession and a destination. It's a process and an eternity. We're all in that process. Paul said, press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling which could be found in Christ Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. Let me just give you the basis of what and how I feel like the service should finish this morning. Simple. One, I'm not going to make an altar call. I'm here to influence. I'm here to inform. I'm here to encourage. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to be wholehearted to the Well Fort Payne. That's not my role. That's not my place. But I am going to ask if you'll be committed wholehearted to whatever God has for you. To give you that opportunity to make that response. Two, without making the altar call to come forward, if perhaps you have need of prayer over a specific situation in your life, a specific physical need in your life, we will be more than happy to pray with you. And you may be saying, well, I'm not comfortable of holding hands right now or somebody laying hands on you. We will give you that space and ask you to trust us with that place to be able to minister to you. We are here. We'll never want anybody to ever leave without being ministered to in the need that they may have. If you're saying, well, I don't know if we have that much time today, that's true. You may not and we may not. But we will follow up. We will carry out to see how we can meet your needs. We don't want you to walk away needful. I want you to walk away full of care, full of love. Amen. So why don't you bow your heads for just a second. And this morning is saying, you know, the word has spoken to me in a certain area, Pastor Greg. It's touched me in certain parts of my heart where I want to make a fresh commitment, a recommitment, or an ongoing commitment in my heart to be wholehearted unto God and to the plans that God has for my life. If that's you and it speaks to you, just raise your hand. Just say, here I am. It's an area that I'm not asking you to be saved or born again. Just committed in your heart to the Lord in all areas. That's all he's looking for. Aren't you happy that it wasn't the hand of Jesus that got saved or crucified, but it was all of Jesus? Wholehearted, fully committed, not holding back. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Be very careful of the concept of holding back. All in means all out. I'm coming all the way out of that by coming all the way in to what God has for me. Father, I thank you for these people, for this body, for this church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. I pray grace upon this house, favor upon this house, wisdom to abound in this house, healings to take place in this house, salvations to happen in this house. But Lord, I pray for each that are here this morning, that increase would come upon them, great increase, more and more increase upon them in all aspects of their life. Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your plan. And Lord, I just cry out to you that Holy Spirit, you'd work a work in our lives to be wholehearted, fully committed to you, to your plan, and to your way. And Lord, I thank you that your grace is going to be upon the well Fort Payne to be wholehearted to what you want to do in Fort Payne, Alabama, what you want to do in this neck of the woods of Alabama, what you're going to reach into Georgia and into Tennessee. I thank you, Lord, that you will fulfill your promises and your plans that have been spoken in these scriptures. A vital church, a healthy church, a multitude of people whose hearts are surrendered to you. So be it in this house. Lord, I ask for Pastor Spencer. I ask for Tim and Michelle's children, Lord. You would touch these that are fighting with these allergies and the sickness, healing in their body. Jesus be glorified. For that one that has spoken by faith, save me. Lord, save him today. Set him free. Come on, sing that for just a moment.
If I knew every step would be getting me closer, swim to the ocean flow. For my Lord is a treasure, my Lord is a treasure. I would run for a thousand years. If I knew every step would be getting me closer, I'd swim to the ocean floor. For my Lord is a treasure, my Lord is a treasure.
If you have need of healing, you're welcome to come up. Specific that you'd like someone to pray with. We'd love to minister to you that way. I encourage you just to lift your hands for a moment. We're not going to rush out of here. We've got to be very gentle in here. Allow ministry to take place. Why would I say lift your hands to receive? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may he give you protection, provision, And may He give you shalom, shalom, peace, peace, nothing lost, nothing broken. And may He drive out all chaos out of your life. And may He, the Lord, your God, bless you more and more and increase you with more and more of His guiding, helping, enabling Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys.